I got to confess something to you because you're my bud, right? We have a relationship, right? No. Anyway, a business associate and friend contacted me yesterday about a show that I did back on July 14th. And in that show, here's what I said. I was talking about staying up late at night because I couldn't sleep for some reason, probably had to pee a lot, I don't know. And I was remarking about this infomercial about a Gotham steel pan made of titanium and ceramic. And it's tan in color, which I found to be just not usable at all in any color coordinated kitchen. And I went on and on about it, and I was maligning it. I was a maligner. Isn't that Trump's wife's name, Melania? I'm not sure. In the commercial, apparently you can scratch the pan with a metal egg beater. You can beat the eggs right in the pan, and this is a nonstick pan, and yet you can scrape it with a fork and a knife and an egg beater, and you can't scratch the thing. It's impervious. It's like Superman or something. And it, nothing sticks to it. Everything slides out of it. You can burn stuff in it, and it just slides right out. You can burn candy in it, and it just slides right out. And I mean, like, whoa, is this science fiction? And this guy with an Australian accent is hawking this thing. Very effective when British people and Australian people with their accents hawk these products. It's like, well, it must be true then. And I'm aligning the thing. And then it comes with a 90-day guarantee. And I rant about that. I say, oh, my God, you know, like, oh, so like on the 91st day, the pan falls apart? What do you, if it's that good, if it's indestructible, you can run over it with a car, by the way, which everybody does. How many times, raise your hand, how many times have you backed out of your driveway and you backed over a pan? I know, it happens all the time. I know. 90-day guarantee, and I was maligning this thing. Oh, this is ridiculous. 90 days, if it's that good, it should be a lifetime guarantee. If it's indestructible and it never sticks and it never scratches, you can run over with a car, then, like, why just 90 days? I mean, 91 days, it's all over. We have no responsibility. Watch the pan fall apart. It'll scratch after 90. And I went on and on about it. So he calls me up, and he says, Ron, I heard that show, and we were thinking of getting that pan. And we got that pan. That's how influential I am, by the way. I tell people that I'm skeptical, don't get it, and everybody goes out and buys it. It's just the way I operate, I suppose. So he calls me yesterday, and he says, Ron, because it's my name. He says, we bought the pan. I got to tell you something, man. It was a hilarious show. Thank you very much. And unfortunately, this show is free. I should be charging for it, but I'm not. He says, I bought the pan. Guess what, Ron? And I'm ready to hear the axe fall. Like, Ron, it scratched after one use. Ron, I ran over it with my car and the handle came out. I'm expecting this. And yet he says, you know what? Everything is true. It doesn't scratch. Everything just slides right out of the pan. And there's no POAs and PDBs, which I guess are chemicals they put in Teflon. There aren't any. And he says it's indestructible. Not that I've run over with my car, but probably is. And I went, no, shit, really? Oh, my God. So I went to the International Internet Association of America with the keyboard, and I found the Gotham Steel pan, and I call it up. Oh, by the way, I tried to order it online. Made me very, very nervous because I am so skeptical. Very, very nervous. It asks for my name, my address, my telephone number, my email, my underwear size. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. And every time I try to go to check, and by the way, entering my credit card to a site that just is a little weird, I don't feel comfortable with that. You know, it's asking for my credit card. I don't like it. But as I try to close the order out, it won't let me do it. It keeps saying, well, would you like a second pan for another $10? No, I don't want a second. Would you like a lid for it for another $10? No, I wouldn't like. Would you like a larger size pan for another $15? No, I wouldn't like that. All you do is pay additional postage and handling. Yeah, here we go again. I could not get out of this order. They kept offering me things. 15 minutes later, they're offering like having sex with their sister for an additional $5.95 postage and handling. I said, wait a minute. So there's a phone number on the website, and I say, you know what? I'm sick of this website crap. I'm speaking to a person. Get this thing done right. I'm speaking to a person. I dial the 800 number. I get a person. Oh, now first they try to make me do it over the phone with an automated system. No. No automated. That's why I'm calling. I don't want to. I want to speak to somebody. They say, well, if you like to speak to somebody, hold on. And someone comes on the phone, and she's a lady probably about in her 50s or something. She's reading from a script. I keep talking to her, and there's a pause, like she's saying to herself, oh, fuck, how do I answer this? It's not in the script. He's asking me questions that aren't in the script. Oh, fuck. So the conversation goes on a while, and I say to her in the middle of the conversation, you're scripted, aren't you? You're reading me things because you have to. She chuckles, but then continues to read things because she has to. She goes through all the rhetoric. Well, you know, for another $5.95, you can get this, and another $10, you can get a lid. And, you know, if you look at the larger size, we have larger size pans for another $15. And a second pan, if you... Finally, the order is over. I'm awaiting now the arrival of my pan. At the end of the order, after I've paid with my credit card on the phone and the whole bit and gone through this 15-minute absurd conversation with this telemarketing lady taking my order, she says, well, that'll arrive in 4 to 6 weeks. Excuse me, bitch! 4 to 6 weeks? You make me go through what makes you... I'm hungry now! 4 to 6 weeks! So, what the hell? I guess I gotta be patient about it. They don't have the money to manufacture pans until I order one, I guess. I don't know. Hey, Ron ordered a pan. Make a pan. How long is it going to take you to make a pan? What? 4 to 6 weeks? Your pan will be shipped in 4 to 6 weeks. So, my admission to you is that I broke down and I did something that I swore I would never do. It's not the first time I've done something that I swore that I would never do. And certainly not the first time that I've done something and I swore that I would never do again.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
I'm so embarrassed. I don't know.
Whatever.
Good afternoon. Oh, screwed it up. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Put it up in a ponytail, why don't you? Oh, yeah. Whatever. The people that know me know that I've got a strange little thing going with women's hair. Now, let me explain this because it sounds perverted, but it's not. I cannot tolerate in any shape or form... This entire lifetime. No, it's not what it is. I cannot tolerate in any shape or form women that take their long, beautiful hair and make a little knot on the top of their head that they call a bun. Let me explain something to you. Buns are made in the oven. Buns are on your ass. Nobody looks attractive with a hair knob on their head. Nobody. And when I approach women with this inquisitiveness, they respond by saying, "Yes, but my hair is messy today," or, "Yes, but it's so much easier to wear it in a bun." And I say, you know, it's so much easier for you not to wear makeup or to shower, yet you do. Why don't you make yourself presentable and fix your damn hair, man? To me, having your hair in a bun means I'm not ready for you yet. I haven't taken care of the bun on my head yet. Bun, I hate that term bun. A bun. Ain't no bun, it's a knob. It's a knob. I can't tolerate it. I don't know why. It's just one of my things, I suppose. I mean, if that's the worst problem I have, then I guess it's okay, I think. But I just totally don't get it. And the irony of the whole thing is that on a woman's most important day of her life, she thinks, her wedding day, she thinks it's the most important day. It could be like the one that you regret the most, but that's besides the point, a whole nother conversation. On those days when these beautiful women go walking down the aisle, they put their hair up in a bun, or they put their hair up off their face. Let me tell you something, ladies. Most of you are extremely attractive. Hair only makes it better. There's a sexy little hair thing going on that men don't have. Well, I do, but most men don't have. I have longer hair than most women do, I think. But it's you need me to tell you what to do is pretty much, you need me to tell you what to do. That, or I think the entire world revolves around me, not the sun. It's me. I'm not indignant about it like Trump, but, you know, let's face it. This is my ride. You know what I'm saying? All right, fine. Thank you for listening. I don't know what to say anymore about this.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Pants. That's what I'm wearing. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I do this every single weekday, Monday through Friday, unless it's a holiday or unless I oversleep or get my toe caught in the bathtub drain thing. Just happened before. Then I can't do a show because it echoes in the bathroom and it's not a good show. So that's when I do this. We're found all over the place. We're heard nationwide. We're picked up by broadcast radio stations sporadically across the country. Thank you so much. Unless I curse too much, then for some odd reason, the shows aren't picked up. Because there's this FCC thing going on with broadcast stations. And if I say certain words, the show doesn't get picked up. So I have to be a little bit careful, even though I don't use profanities really at all. But sometimes they slip out. This is way too much information. Why am I wasting your time? Anyway, thanks for listening to the program. You can reach me by email on the International Email System of America, LLC, by going to ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you've done something interesting with your life, and I sure hope you have by now, but you think that other people would be interested, that's questionable. You can contact me. We can have conversation on the air. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Perhaps you've written a book, or it's a subject matter that you'd like me to investigate, talk about on the air, lampoon, whatever the crace may be. That's where you can contact me. You go to the Facebook page, New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show on Facebook, which really means absolutely nothing at all. I don't maintain it. I don't go to it. But if you can just like it, I guess I'd appreciate it for some reason. I don't know why I would, but it's what you're supposed to do. I started a Twitter account. I've been into twats now for a couple of weeks, And I don't know if that's the verb or the noun or if I've just said something that has further kept me off of broadcast radio stations across the country. I really don't know. I'm not aware. Just doing my thing, man. Just doing my thing. Whatever the case may be. Anyway, enough of that crap. Hey, we've got an interesting show. We're going to talk about an article that was written in the Washington Post by David Ignatius. And it is one of the most insightful things I've ever read. I'm going to read it to you today. It's about something that we should be discussing, both politically and economically, but we don't. And it's pretty much the scariest thing going as far as jobs are concerned. It's not the trade agreements that are causing a lack of jobs in this country. Everybody could be working in this country right now. It's something that has made it not possible for everybody to work. And we'll talk about that. It's not the trade agreements. We benefit from them as well. We're able to sell our goods overseas. And it's upped our gross national product, really. So it's not that. It's something else. And we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk to a gentleman who is a doctor about mosquitoes. Those little bastards, actually the little bitches, the females, I think, are the ones that bite you. Isn't that the way it always is? I could have it backwards, but I don't know, whatever. I don't mind flies. I don't mind butterflies. I don't mind birds. I mean, everything is wonderful. Bees, I don't even mind. They're just out to pollinate. They're not out to attack me. They're just out to pollinate themselves and flowers and things like that. Mosquitoes are out to suck my blood. This has got to stop. What am I supposed to do about this? We're going to speak to the doctor about that today. He's a doctor with SC Johnson, and they create products to stop the mosquitoes. That's all coming up on today's program of fun and enjoyment. I've been watching television lately, as I tend to do. There is a commercial on television that I just totally don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get the purpose of it. The commercial is for D'Angelo's subs. I don't know if you have them across the country, but in the New England area, there are these sandwich shops called D'Angelo's Subs. And in the summer, they sell their little lobster sandwiches, which is kind of odd for a sub shop to be making lobster sandwiches. You expect that more in a high-class restaurant, but they do that. And they do a commercial, and here's their tagline slogan for the lobster sandwiches at D'Angelo's. This is so amazingly awful. This is like these top corporate minds at D'Angelo's sat down in a boardroom somewhere. I don't know where the corporate headquarters are. They sat down in a boardroom and they said, let's come up with a slogan for the lobster at D'Angelo's. Let's see. Anybody got any ideas? Here's the one they chose. Here's the slogan. Are you ready? Here it comes. Let's lobster. What? What does that mean? Let's, L-E-T apostrophe S, let's lobster. Lobster is not a verb. You can't lobster something. And I don't even know what you would do if you lobstered something.
You better watch out, Joe. I'm going to lobster you.
Wait, what are you going to do to me? You're going to lobster me? What does that mean?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to lobster you.
So apparently you go into D'Angelo's and you want to be lobstered. It's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's so simplistic that it's stupid. It doesn't mean anything. As a result, I will not go into your shop and get lobstered. You can lobster with somebody else. Let somebody else lobster with you. I ain't lobstering with you because I don't even know what the fuck to talk. Sorry.
This show will not air on the broadcast stations, apparently. It just upsets me that all these great minds in creative marketing come up with Let's Lobster. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little upset about nothing.
There's also a commercial on television. It's a pudgy little guy with a mustache. That's all I know about him. It's
pudgy little guy with a mustache. He looks like a custodian at the high school down the street. That's what he looks like to me. He does. His product is a pillow, and it's called My Pillow. Its commercial runs frequently. You've probably seen it before. He makes his pillows in the Midwest, in this country, which I find to be quite nice. But he goes on about these pillows like they are the remedy for your entire life. Apparently, you can't sleep well without a good pillow, and he's the only one that knows how to make one. And it's called My Pillow. The My Pillow I did purchase about 3 to 4 years ago when the product came out. He said it's the most comfortable pillow you will ever sleep on in your entire life. I said to myself, I sleep half the day. Half of my life is spent with my head on a pillow. This is something I should pay attention to. Has this man come up with a pillow that will make sleep just so wonderful? If so, I must get my hands on it. So I order one, and for the first 3-4 days, I'm sleeping like a baby. Well, that's not true. Babies don't sleep well. If you've ever had a baby, the little bastard cries all night. I don't know where that phrase, sleeping like a baby, came from. That would mean I have colic and I'm screaming. I slept like an adult with a good pillow is pretty much what I did. And it was very comfortable. 5th day, not so much. 6th day, hardly at all. 7th day, I couldn't get to sleep. I think it's psychological. I think it's a psychological pillow. They tell you that this is the most comfortable pillow in the world. You get it home, you unwrap it, you put your head on it, and you say to yourself, this is the most comfortable pillow. This is what they said it was. I got one. But it's not really. I've been on other pillables. I've been on other pillows that have been more comfortable or just as comfortable. Now it's not so comfortable anymore. Now they have, and apparently other people are feeling the same way, because now if you watch the commercial 3-4 years later, it's, hi, I'm with My Pillow. This is the most comfortable pillow in the world. If you order now for the price of one pillow, I'll give you a second one free. Okay. Things are not going well. As soon as you start doing that, things are not going well. You're telling me for years you were selling this pillow like for $39-40. That was the price. $40 for the most comfortable pillow in the world. Sure, I'll foot for that. Or I'll head for that. A couple of years later, all right, here's the deal. You're going to save money. I'll give you 2 pillows. I'll cut the price in half if you get 2 pillows. Oh. Pillows aren't moving, are they? The pillows aren't moving, are they, huh? Little clue to me. Buy 2 of them that don't work well. You used to be able to buy 1 that didn't work well. Now here's 2 that didn't work well for the same price. Now they may work for some people. It didn't work for me after a period of time, is all I'm saying. Now, of course, my business friend might call up and say, Ron, I ordered the My Pillow. I've been using it for years. I haven't woken up in 6 years now. It's very, very comfortable. I love the pillow. Yeah, I guess it's a question of who you talk to.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose?
Yes, I did.
Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds?
Nope.
Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
It's a little bit condescending, in a way.
Can we put away the guns tonight? It's time to worry that I'm dying, lying you. Made your point 1,000 times, and I'm not afraid to lose. Step away from the stereo, you're cranking that tune too loud and it hurts. Could you go back through the door?
Carmen and Camille. Carmen and Camille, two lovely young ladies in their 20s, maybe even their 30s. About 10 years ago, I did a motion picture with Mark Schepeta called A Father's Fight, and Carmen and Camille did the soundtrack for that movie, and we appreciate that, and that was they're very talented young ladies. So I thought I'd pop them in, if you know what I mean. David Ignatius is an opinion writer for the Washington Post, has been for quite some time. He's said something quite intelligent, and this has to do with everybody having a job, and it's not because of trade agreements that there seem to be not enough jobs for people. It's because of something we did to ourselves, and I'll read from the Washington Post. Job security is a central theme of the 2016 campaign, fueling popular anger about trade deals and immigration. Yeah. But economists warn that a much bigger job loss is ahead for the United States, driven not by foreign competition, but by advancing technology. What? Yeah. And I think you're going to understand what this is. A look at the numbers suggests that the country is having the wrong economic debate this year. Employment security won't come from renegotiating trade deals, as Donald Trump said in a speech recently. It's about something else. The deeper problem facing the United States is how to provide meaningful work and good wages for tens of millions of truck drivers, accountants, factory workers, and office clerks whose jobs will disappear in the coming years because of robots, driverless vehicles, and machine learning systems. The political debate needs to engage the taboo topic of guaranteeing economic security to families through universal basic income or a greatly expanded earned income tax credit or something, because jobs are going to go away. It's called the automation bomb. It can destroy 45% of the work activities currently performed in the United States, representing about $2 trillion in annual wages. That's according to a study last year by the consulting firm McKinsey & Company. We've seen only the beginning of this change, they warned. Currently, only 5% of occupations can be entirely automated. But 60% of occupations could soon see machines doing 30% or more of the work. The article goes on, but I think you get the idea. What's killing our economy is ourselves. We're inventing robots and automated systems that are taking away our own jobs. We are inventing this stuff, and it's depleting the amount of jobs available to us. I have discussed this before about customer service. They have reduced the number of companies have reduced the amount of customer service employees because automated systems can speak for them. They are intelligent, voice understanding, to the point where you don't need real people to talk to customers anymore. We've already cut out the telephone operator business in the phone company. We've already cut out the receptionist positions in most companies, because we have automated, voice-activated customer service. And now there's discussions about driverless cars, cars that don't need drivers, which I thought was part of the fun of having a car. Now you sit in the car, take me to 27 Franklin Street.
I will take you.
And it goes. I don't see it happening, but this is what everybody tells me is going to happen. It could kill the trucking industry to a large extent. where the truck arrives at a place. I mean, we already have cars that can park themselves. You basically don't even have to be in the car. You happen to be in it at the time to flip the switch to make it do that, but it can park by itself. Don't need you. We don't need you anymore. And of course, in factories, it's taken away an incredibly high percentage of jobs from workers because we have robots assembling cars pretty much from beginning to end. Robots are assembling cars pretty much from beginning to end. Robots and robotic systems are assembling products. Every product that we use in our home is probably assembled on an assembly line by a robot. There are still many jobs where there's people there, but that's fading day to day to day. We are taking away our own jobs. The only thing that's come out of this with the computer industry are those that are software experts or computer experts or cybersecurity experts. All these fringe protection jobs. But the actual job is being taken away from us by ourselves. And we need to have a conversation about that because at this rate, there's no question that within a decade, people won't have jobs because there won't be any jobs to have. Every company right now, just about every single company as we sit here today, is operating with less employees than they did before, doing the same amount of business. And that's a fact. And you know it's a fact. You take the exact amount of business that a company does 10, 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, they needed more employees to achieve the same amount of sales. Now, you don't need them. Less employees to achieve the same. Sales is an important asset of jobs, people to people, making sales, etc. But we don't have to travel to locations. We can video conference. We can do that with the heads of company rather than have lackeys do it for you, quote unquote lackeys. Some of the restaurants are actually automated. If you go to some airports across the country, you sit down at a counter, at a table, and you order off of a computer screen. And somebody from the kitchen cooks your food and brings it out to you. They don't take your order. They simply bring the food out that you ordered on the computer screen. We're cutting out jobs left and right in this country because of technology. It's fun. It's advancement. It's technological advancement. It's the way you should always try to advance yourself technologically, business-wise, etc. But for the common middle-class worker, we're reducing our jobs. We're taking away our own jobs. We don't need you anymore. We don't need you performing that job anymore. And the only jobs that will be left over, as you can already see, are some service jobs that don't pay all that much. It's unfortunate. And that's the discussion we should be having. Not about trade agreements with other countries, but about what we're going to do here in this country to balance technology and jobs for people. Because the fact is, before long, people aren't going to be able to earn wages. There just won't be any jobs, or far few of them. And that's the discussion we should be having. It's a little bit too much for some people to take in or even to know where to start. But somewhere, sometime, very soon, that's a subject matter that must be addressed, because that's where we're heading, without question at all. Okay, now that I've totally depressed you, it's all right, just have a drink, everything's fine. Mosquitoes, those annoying little gnatty blood-sucking things, it's the time of year that we all can't stand it, and you don't know what to do about it. So we're going to tackle that problem as well today and talk about mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are taking away the job of bloodsuckers all over this country. Well, people used to suck blood. Remember vampires? Now the mosquitoes are doing it. Now the vampires are out of work. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Doctor. How are you? Dr. Thomas Gary joins us. He's a PhD with S.C. Johnson, Senior Associate Entomologist. And we're talking about the mosquito season, of which I spray my home. I have a service do it every few weeks because it's extreme up here in New England. Is this a growing trend?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's on the minds of people these days because of Zika. But, you know, this isn't something totally new. I mean, we've had other mosquito problems in the past. There's been West Nile coming through. There's been dengue in certain parts of the country. And unfortunately, this won't be the last thing that we need to worry about. But, yeah, I mean, some seasons are worse than others in terms of mosquitoes, but yeah, I mean, it's always something that we need to be concerned about.
Yeah, because those things actually suck your blood. I mean, they just do. I mean, flies, they're just annoying, and moths, they, you know, maybe stick on your clothes or something, but mosquitoes actually will interact with your blood system, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. So it's only the female mosquitoes that feed. The males just kind of eat sugar and relax. The females will take blood so they can develop their eggs, but that's right. Mosquitoes do take blood, and that's the main reason why some of them can transmit diseases. Yeah. So they'll bite somebody who has a virus or something and then pick up the virus. It'll develop in the mosquito, and they'll bite somebody else. And when they take blood from you, they're also putting in a little bit of their saliva. It's kind of gross, but that's how they transmit their viruses.
God, they're vampires.
Yeah, exactly.
They're little bats. Okay, well, the main question to our conversation today is, what do you do about that? I mean, short of spraying, your yard and stuff, not everybody can do that, or sometimes that's not even effective. What can we personally do to make them not want us so much, not to be so loved by these mosquitoes?
Right, yeah, that's what everybody's asking. So there are three tips that I kind of tell people about whenever I'm talking about this. And this is coming from somebody who spent his entire professional career working on mosquitoes and mosquito-transmitted diseases. So the three tips that I have are really, first and foremost, first line of defense against mosquitoes is to use a repellent.
Okay.
So this is something that you can use on yourself. I recommend that you use a repellent with EPA-registered active ingredients like DEET or picaridin.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is that these repellents have a large body of evidence behind them showing that they do work. When we register a product with these ingredients, we have to show through rigorous testing that they actually do protect people against mosquito bites. So we have to submit that to the EPA.
Okay.
And you can compare this a little bit to repellents that don't have these ingredients, that aren't registered with the EPA. And it's kind of a buyer beware situation where they don't have to do testing, they don't have to submit anything to the EPA showing that it works. So they may not work, but we really don't know. So what I always recommend is just use something that we know works, and that's stuff with DEET and picaridin, for sure.
And are these chemicals, quote-unquote, are they safe?
Sure. So DEET's been used for a very long time. It's been registered, I think, for 50-plus years, registered with the EPA. If you have any concerns about putting it on a kid, what we recommend is that an adult applies it onto a kid, right?
Uh-huh.
So you don't just give the kid
right.
the bottle. You'll apply it to your hands and kind of put it on a child to make sure they're properly protected.
Okay.
But we recommend that you follow the label. And if you want any tips on how to do this properly or how the repellents work specifically and anything like that or other tips, we do have a website that has some information. It's scjohnson.com, and you just click on mosquito info, and it's got a lot of tips on how to properly apply stuff and how you should use it with children and all of that.
Okay. And I heard the color of clothing makes a difference.
Yeah, it can. So there's some evidence showing that if you're wearing light-colored clothing, mosquitoes might not bite you as much as if you're wearing dark-colored clothing.
Hmm.
So that's not going to be a surefire way to protect yourself. So you can't just go out wearing white and
right.
be left alone by the mosquitoes. But it might bump them a little bit in the other direction, you know?
Yeah.
So the way a mosquito finds somebody, when we breathe in, we breathe in oxygen. When we breathe out carbon dioxide.
Yep.
And mosquitoes follow the carbon dioxide
from
a pretty long distance.
Oh.
So they'll kind of follow this plume coming out of your mouth. And what they'll do is they'll kind of get closer. They can use their vision. They can sense heat, and they'll say, "Hey, here's somebody that I want to bite." They get in a little bit closer, and that's when they'll really hone in on you. And what these repellents do, they create a little vapor barrier at the skin surface.
Okay.
It kind of messes with the sensory organs of the mosquitoes and kind of keeps them from biting you, crawling on you, and all that.
All right. Why are some people bitten more than others? I mean, I have friends that. They're just never bitten, or if they are, it's very minor. And then other people like myself, it's like, hey, there he is, go get him.
Yeah, the magnet for the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So this is something that we've looked at a lot. It's true that that certain factors can contribute to one person being more attractive to mosquitoes than others.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's not always the same, right? So one day I can be really attractive to mosquitoes, the next day not so much.
Mm-hmm.
It can be things like what you ate, what your body temperature is like, whether or not you took a shower recently, what color clothes you're wearing, what kind of soap you use. And none of these things is going to protect you. And it's hard to predict what of these factors is going to make you more or less attractive. But it's interesting. So if I'm standing out there by myself, I'm going to get bit by mosquitoes. But if I'm standing out there with my friend and they like him more than me, they're going to bite him, and I'll have fewer biting me, and it'll appear like I'm like immune to mosquito bites. But in reality, it's just they like him a little bit more.
So
it's like the old joke, you know, about how you don't have to outrun the lion; you need to outrun your friend, right?
So just find friends that mosquitoes like, and make sure they're always around you.
That's not really ethical, and we don't recommend it. What we recommend is following those three tips, right?
Yeah, I understand
and all that is the first line.
Right. What about mosquitoes in the house? I mean, are there situations where you can actually spray the room with DEET or something if you have screens and, you know, little, I don't know, they can get through the little screen holes. What happens inside the house?
So inside the house, DEET is something you put on your skin or your clothing. So it's a skin-applied repellent.
Right.
It's not going to do anything kind of on an area-wide basis.
Okay.
So if you spray your room with DEET, it's not going to
do anything.
So it works if, so mosquitoes hone in on your skin to try and bite you, and it forms that layer on the skin.
Yeah.
But if you spray it in your walls, they're not trying to bite the walls, so it's not going to impact them at all.
Okay.
There are aerosol products that you can spray inside your house to knock down mosquitoes if you see them flying around.
Yeah.
SC Johnson does make some products that do that.
Uh-huh.
But DEET and skin applied repellents are personal protection. There are things that you can use inside
your
home.
But it's better to spray yourself, though, is what you're saying.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right. Fascinating stuff. Last question before we part company here. I've seen, like, clothes that actually say mosquito-proof or mosquito-unfriendly or something. I think they're even called mosquito shirts or something. Have you heard of these things?
I've heard a little bit about them. I don't really know too much. I know that we don't make them. Some of them, I think, are going to be just a really tight weave fabric that
you
can't fight through,
right.
And that's going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Imagine you're out in the summer hunting or fishing or going for a hike or something. It's going to be really hot. It's not going to be breathable. I think that's what most of those shirts and kind of bug-proof clothing are.
Okay. Just
make sure that it's breathable, because you don't want to. I mean, there are a lot of things that can happen to you out there if you're sweating.
I know.
But an easy solution is just to use a skin applied repellent.
Okay. Sure. All right. Totally safe and available. And DEET apparently is it. SC Johnson makes a large line of repellents, so that's a place to go. How do we find out more information here?
Okay. So as I said before, you can go to scjohnson.com, and when you go there, just click on a little thing called mosquito info, and that'll have a lot of information about how the repellents work and how to properly use them and all that.
Very cool. Yeah, we got to stop these little buggers.
I agree.
Yeah, and that can be applied to political campaigns as well. thank you so
much. I won't go there then.
No, please don't. Doctor, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thanks, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Okay. Kids, we're out of time for today. I'll be back again on Monday. Until then, I wish you peace. Oh, boy. Big finish, here we go. Take it off, here we go.